You're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight I want you to just sit back and forget about your pen and paper, because we're just going to talk. And I don't know if what we're going to talk about is going to be of any value to any of you or not, but I think that some of it needs to be said, and some of these things need to be pondered. So, get yourself something to sip on, glass of milk, glass of water, bottle of beer, I don't care what it is. Sit back in your favorite chair, and let's just talk tonight. Now that's what I call beautiful music, and the name of it is I Want Tomorrow, and I chose that musical selection because that's what tonight's little talk is going to be about. I Want Tomorrow. I don't know how many of us really sit down, and I mean really, really think, not about what we want, or about what our duty is, or about what we should be doing, but what are we doing? What in the world are we doing? You know, just recently when I decided to just stop cold dead in my tracks dealing with the sheeple, because it's like butting your head against a stone wall, after barreling down the highway at about 80 miles an hour, I sat down and I asked myself, Bill, what are you doing? What in the world are you doing? What is this really all about? Started with me, folks, many, many years ago. Well, it seems like many, many, many years ago. Someone listening to me say that might think it was 60 years ago, but it wasn't. It was about, right around 1970, I guess. About a year after I came home from Vietnam. And I'd spent some time on the USS Charles Berry DE-1035 conducting an investigation for the Naval Investigative Service, NIS. I was only on there a short period of time and then left. The war had left me somewhat confused. And quite a bit hurt, pained. I really couldn't put it all together. And so my term of enlistment in the United States Navy had expired, and everybody was after me to reenlist, and I didn't do it. I got out. But I didn't go anywhere. Because I didn't have any place to go, folks. I was sort of lost. And I partied quite a bit. You see, I got out in Honolulu, and it's pretty easy to party in Honolulu. I had a great time. I sort of forgot all about the pain and the confusion and all of the things that were bothering me. And when I thought that it had all got away, I turned right around and went right back in the service and took a short drive down the highway to Makalapa and was assigned to the intelligence briefing team of the Commander-in-Chief of the United States Pacific Fleet, who was at that time Admiral Bernard Clary. Well, I have to take that back. I wasn't right away assigned to the intelligence briefing team. And the reason I wasn't is because you have to obtain a top secret QSIC clearance, which is a top secret clearance. I think you all know what that is. I've explained it before on this broadcast. A Q means you have access to atomic weapons or information concerning atomic weapons, which would be disastrous to the national defense should that information leak to some foreign power. SI means sensitive information, because some of the briefings contained intelligence that was obtained through human sources, which means people in sensitive positions, that even if the intelligence that they had conveyed to us was leaked in any way, shape, or form, the enemy or whoever that person worked for, or whoever he obtained that intelligence from, would instantly know who the source was. That's what you call sensitive information, or sensitive intelligence, some people call it. And the C is just compartmentalized, which means I had access to some of the greatest secrets that there were, that Admiral Clary had access to, because I was on the team that put the information together to brief the Admiral. every weekday morning, Monday through Friday, we would come in at about 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning and put together a briefing which we would present to the Admiral between 8 and 9 in the morning, depending upon what time he and his staff would arrive at the briefing room. We were always ready to present the briefing at 8. And sometimes we would be called in to prepare and present special briefings during special occurrences or unusual occurrences or during national emergencies or periods of high states of alert or when other countries were experiencing unusual events. And I began to see and hear things, ladies and gentlemen, that did not at first make sense to me. And I was a loyal American. I was a loyal sailor. I took my oaths very seriously and to this day still remember them. When I began to see, for instance, the Admiral in the command center on pins and needles with some key members of his staff while I was on watch as the petty officer of the watch. I was also the SPCAT operator, or the KL-47 operator, which is a crypto machine. I was the only one that was authorized to touch it or remove messages from it or transmit messages over that machine while I was on watch. When I would witness something like this, at the very same instant that the television set was on in the command center, showing the president making a speech, incredible speech, telling the American people that we were conducting no bombing raids in North Vietnam and we had no troops or aircraft or bombing in Cambodia or Laos. And then the bells would go off and the KL-47 and the top secret traffic would begin to come in with the results of the bombing raid in North Vietnam, Cambodia, and Laos. And I would shake my head, you know, what in the world is going on here? This isn't right. But I never said anything. Most of us never do. We never question because we never, well, I better not say we. I could never believe that the people in charge of this country could do bad to me or to the American people. I was reared that this was impossible. Could not happen. Greatest country in the world. Freedom. Truth. You see, folks, long before I ever told you you were a sheeple, I was first. Extremely stupid. Very naive. Ignorant beyond belief. Sheeple par excellence. That was me. And in my white uniform, I'm sure that some people within earshot could hear the boss when I opened my mouth. I saw an awful lot of other things. Some I've discussed and some I have not and some I never can and some I may at some future date. But the gist of it was, ladies and gentlemen, that the intelligence community and the highest commands of the government are not operating on behalf of the nation or of liberty or the Constitution. In fact, to tell you the truth, what I learned is that they really don't give a damn about the Constitution, and if they ever think of it at all, it's the very last thing that's ever thought of. They would break the law with impunity. and lie to the American people with every breath. And I became severely disillusioned. And when I discovered that the whole aim of all of this maneuvering and machinations and puppeteering and play-acting with the Soviet Union, because that's really what it was. We were never enemies with the Soviet Union. In every piece of technology that they've ever had, we gave it to them. Now, I know that may be hard for some of you to swallow, but I'm telling you right now, and I will swear it on a stack of Bibles in a second, it is the truth. The whole idea was to create so much fear in the world of another war, or of any kind of a war, that the people of the world would accept disarmament and come together under a one-world totalitarian socialist government. I saw documents that told me that clearly the aim was to merge communism with capitalism and create a world socialist government, which would be the synthesis between the two. I watched the United States Navy in the Pacific perform actions and create situations that would help bring these things about. And I'm going to tell you right now, that's what the Gulf War was all about. And it's the only reason that the atomic bomb was ever dropped. It wasn't to end the war. If you really study what was going on at the end of the war, the Japanese were ready to surrender. They had already sent out their emissaries to tell us that they would surrender if we would just promise to leave the emperor alone. Well, we refused those offers, and we dropped two atomic bombs, and we still did what they wanted us to do before we did that. And they would have surrendered without any of those people dying, without any more of our people dying. But the atomic bombs had to be dropped. There's a reason those atomic bombs were dropped, ladies and gentlemen, and it wasn't to end the war. It was to create a new world order. It was to create a world government. It was to instill in the hearts and minds of people all over the world that there was a weapon that was so terrible that all nations had to be disarmed and come under the control of a world governing body. And I know tomorrow some of you are going to call me loony and tell me that I'm crazy, or that I'm just some kind of an egomaniacal idiot who does this kind of thing for personal profit and the furtherance of my, I don't know. Somebody will write me a letter and tell me whatever it is, though. I became so disillusioned that I gave up all the plans that I had ever laid out thus far in my life. I'd already spent 4 years in the Air Force and about 8 months in the Air Force Reserve. And at that particular time, I don't remember exactly how many years I had in the Navy at that particular point, but at least 5. And at that time, I was a second-class petty officer, which is an E-5. When I left the headquarters of the Commander-in-Chief of the Pacific Fleet, I had a completely different view of the world, I can assure you. I knew that world government was coming. I knew that it was being brought about by a secret brotherhood of men who believe that there is definitely, without any doubt, a superior race, the white race, the Anglo-Aryan race, as they put it, and that all other races on this earth are inferior in their evolutionary development and were to be guided in their evolutionary development by this white race in this coming world government. And the ones that were not able to evolve would simply be used again as slaves, are simply eliminated as useless eaters. I actually saw that term in documents, calling them useless eaters. And when they used that term, they were specifically speaking of the black and Hispanic races of the world. And in light of that, ladies and gentlemen, it's awful difficult for me to get angry at the anger of blacks and Hispanics. I just can't get angry with them because they're angry with the white race when they've been subjected to this kind of mentality throughout history and have to put up with this type of thing every day in their life. Now, granted, some of them ask for ill treatment, just like some whites and some Orientals ask for ill treatment. Those people I have no trouble getting angry with because I tend to treat people as individuals, not as groups. But I have a great deal of understanding for the history of the world. An understanding of what brought us to the point that we find ourselves at this present time. Because I've probably done more research into the matter and into various populations and racial groups and their histories, how things came to pass. I may not be the most well-educated person in this subject in the world, but I'll guarantee you I'm the most honest person about it that I've ever listened to or read in the world. Most historians do not teach or write or record legitimate and truthful history anymore. They write and record and speak about the politically correct history. They change it. And the reason they change it, ladies and gentlemen, is not to hide the history, but to manufacture the future. This is what I've learned. They want to change the future based upon their ability to change the history. I learned a long time ago that if you study the true history, the real history, the hidden history, the history that they don't want you to know, along with the history that they let you know because it's harmless, and discard the phony, false, fake history, you can pretty much accurately predict what is going to happen in the future, because people throughout the entire history of the world that I've studied do nothing but go from age to age repeating the same scenario over and over and over again. It's incredible. It's like watching the same movie every day. And it's really not funny. I apologize for that little chuckle. But when you've studied it and you know it as I do, you become a little jaded about all of this. And a little more than a little. I start to say a little disappointed in people, more than a little disappointed in people, a lot disappointed in people. And recently when I sat down, and I said, Bill, what are you doing? You know, I came to grips with all of this. And I realize that I am trying valiantly, as bravely and as forcefully as I can, to get enough people to listen so that we don't have to do it all over again. That's what I set out to do. It was a great search for the truth. And when I first started this broadcast, every night I used to come on and say, we are in a search for the truth. No matter who it helps or hurts, we're going to reveal the truth. We're going to find it. We're going to talk about it on this broadcast, even if it hurts me. And I guess about a year ago, somehow I got away from that. And I think the main reason that I got away from it is I was so concerned about the people who are awakened don't know what to do, that I wanted to give them some direction. And now that I think about it, I don't think maybe that it was my job at all to do that. My job is information. It's always been information. I would never make a good presidential candidate. I am not the savior of the world, nor am I your savior. I started out as a messenger of the truth to deliver the history and the reality of what is happening in the world today, based upon what I could teach you about what happened in history and the men and the organizations and the women that are bringing this all about, so that you could make a decision about your future. And I used to say that every night. I used to say, this is the hour of the time. This is the most important hour in your entire life. For during this hour, you will decide your future, and thus our collective futures. And I have to get back to that as part of this whole thing now. I don't want to wake up the sheeple anymore. I don't want to give anybody directions. The road signs are everywhere. One of the biggest problems that we find ourselves in is listening to leaders who don't really lead. People need information. They need a method to make decisions. They need to know what's happening. They need to know the truth about the law. They need to know the truth about history, and they need to know the truth about what's happening today. And that was the big decision that prompted us to change the name of our newspaper from The Intelligence Analyst to Veritas, which is Latin for truth. Suggested, I might add, by my good friend Joseph Gill. Who during his lifetime has probably had every major important book. And by important, I don't mean the important like what the New York Times says is important. I mean important like it really has real history, real knowledge, and real revelations in these books, have passed through his hands in his short lifetime than probably anybody else in the world. He used to be the person who handled the rare book department for one of the largest, most expensive, most hoity-toity auction houses in the world, in New York, in fact. If I were to mention the name, which I'm not, you would all recognize it instantly. He was in charge of these rare books. He would buy collections from people, or bid on collections at estate sales and put these books up for auction. He would handle private sales for people of rare books that you and I will never see in our lifetime, no matter how hard we look. And even if we could find it, we couldn't afford to touch it. So I value his knowledge, because every one of these books that he had an opportunity to read, he did, and he ended up with one of the world's greatest collections of rare books. He is a true bibliophile. So he suggested, in light of my mission, that we call the newspaper Veritas, and we did. And don't go away, folks, because I've got a lot more to say tonight. I think it's important. If you don't, then turn off your radio and go to bed, but I'll be right back. Don't go away.
Folks, the hour of the time is brought to you by Swiss American Trading. These are the people who care enough to sponsor this broadcast. I don't know if anybody else in this nation would sponsor this broadcast, to tell you the truth. All the things that I've opened up here, the barrels, some people talk about cans of worms. I open barrels of worms. The subjects we've discussed are guaranteed eventually to make every single person in this country angry, because we're all living, I can't say all anymore, because not all of us are. I'm not, and I know some of you are not. But most people are living in a fantasy land, furthering agendas that they don't even have any conception of what it is that they're a part of. Blindly going along because that's the thing to do. Defending it against all attempts to reveal the truth simply because they belong. I've said it before and I'll say it again. If you really want to understand adult life, just look at life in any high school. It's no different. Craig Smith and Swiss American Trading took this task on a long time ago. They've been with us through thick or thin. There was a reason that I accepted them as the sponsor of this broadcast. And if you ever get a chance to talk to Craig about it, he'll tell you that it was tough to get me to agree to this. I had to thoroughly investigate them. And everything that we discovered that even had the hint of impropriety, we had to discuss at length before I was satisfied that everything was fine. Craig agreed upon a guarantee. And he already had a buyback policy. Nobody else that I ever talked to ever told me they had a buyback policy, so I was impressed with that. Craig agreed that if any of my listeners ever wrote or called or told me that they thought that they were cheated or mistreated or anything like that, all I had to do was call him and tell him what was going on, and he'd take care of it and make it right. And I believed him, and he has made good on his word several times. I think about three, to my knowledge. And there was no wrongdoing on his part or the customer's part in all three of those times, if I remember correctly. They were just people who took a large sum of money and made an investment and then got scared. And folks, there's no reason to get scared when you invest in precious metals. You see, your precious metals will always buy the same value that you paid for them. And that's the truth. Now, if you're going to buy and sell in precious metals, you're not going to get what you paid for them. And that's also the truth, because they do what's called spot trading. In other words, the spot that you buy at is always higher than the spot that they buy at. So if you buy at spot and turn around and want to sell it back to them at spot, you're going to get less money unless the market has gone up to bring that low spot up above the price that you paid. But for our purposes, ladies and gentlemen, all of this doesn't make any difference unless you're just a greedy SOB that thinks that you just got to get in there and make a killing. And if you want to do that, that's fine with me. But don't do it because of anything you heard from me. You see, my whole purpose is to get you to put some money into something that we know will protect the value of your money. And you don't have any money anyway. You won't have any money until you do what I'm suggesting that you do. I was amazed, ladies and gentlemen. You know, I remember silver dollars when I was a kid. And I remember seeing some gold coins. I don't exactly know where, but I know that I saw some gold coins. But I was amazed. The first time I ever held a gold coin in my hand, I was absolutely amazed. The feel of it. You know, these Scrooge McDuck comic books, they're not so far off the mark. I mean, gold is the kind of thing that makes you want to hold it and feel it. It really feels like you have something valuable in your hand, and everybody appreciates that. And it's heavy, really heavy. So we know that when we see pictures of Scrooge McDuck submerged under his pile of gold coins with just his head sticking up, no, I don't think so. Because without a crane, he would have never got out of there. I got to tell you that. I'm really seriously concerned about most of you who know that something's happening. You've been educating yourselves. You've been listening to this broadcast for a long time. You're barely making ends meet, and you really, really think that you can't afford to buy gold or silver coins. And I'm going to tell you right now, folks, you cannot afford not to buy gold or silver coins and put them away. If you think your life is tough now, imagine a life where the dollar is worth nothing, where you don't have a garden in your backyard, and even if you do, it's not going to feed you for the whole year. You all owe so much money that if you can't make the payments, they're going to come and take your house and your car and everything that you've got right now anyway. And just think about this. You're out. You're on your own. You've got nothing. Nothing. What in the world are you going to do? How are you going to live, and how are you going to take care of your family? I can assure you this is coming back again. I just read an article sent to me from Russia, ladies and gentlemen. The Russian people are scared to death of the new American dollar that's coming out in January. Now, why would the Russians be afraid of this new dollar? Why is the State Department spending so much money to soothe the fears of the Russians? Well, these are questions you had better be asking. I know the answer. So do many other people. And I've talked to you about it many times. But I want you to call Swiss America Trading and talk to them about how you can get your hands on some real money. Talk to them. Even if you can only afford one silver dollar a month, it's better than nothing. Do something, folks. Call them. Explore it. Tell them that you're a steady listener to the hour of the time. Tell them William Cooper sent you. And you'll get red carpet, VIP treatment. I guarantee. I guarantee, as somebody else would say. It's 1-800-289-2646. Call now. So, what is it that I'm doing, and what is it that you're doing? What is it that we are so afraid of that we have banded together to wake people up, to form militias, to educate people, to strongly oppose? You see, I've said this many, many times, mostly in the early days of this broadcast, but I'm going to say it again tonight. I'm not afraid of world government. I don't think world government is a bad thing at all. I don't, ladies and gentlemen, oppose, nor do I fear change. You see, I happen to know through all my studies throughout history that the only absolute thing that you can count on is change. Things are going to change. All the time they are changing. If you live long enough, there will be changes that you never dreamed you would ever see in your younger years. My great-grandmother came across this country in a covered wagon. She lived to fly on a jet plane. The ability for her to accept and adapt to those types of changes is astounding. Absolutely astounding. Nor am I against everything that our, quote, enemies, end quote, are trying to do. And in fact, I have learned to understand some of the reasons why they are doing these things. Don't agree with them all, but I understand them. I'm also empathetic. Because for the most part, these people who are the guiding hand behind the New World Order are a bunch of doddering, scared, old, rich men. We're afraid that somebody's going to take everything that they ever earned or built or put together away from them just because they're rich. Many of them were born into wealth and so have a guilty conscience about that. But despite all their rationalizing and their pretensions of philanthropy and doing good for mankind and building children's hospitals and all of this other front-type stuff, they suffer from the same delusions and illusions that the Roman emperors and Napoleon and all of the other Hitlers of the world ever suffered from. They really believe that because they have money, it somehow makes them smarter. They also believe that we're going to buy their story that all of these rich, wealthy people are bringing about socialism in order to create one class and make life better for everybody. Mm-hmm. They're not going to give up one red cent nor one single ounce of power, I can assure you. They're lying to us and they're lying to themselves. I'm not sure which is worse. They practice the same manipulatory tactics. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, you can read the latest book out called Julius Caesar, about the life of Julius Caesar, written by a man named Kahn, K-A-H-N. I would advise all of you to get that book and read it, because you will notice that everything that happens in the Roman Empire and the methods that the elect used to control the population of Rome are the exact same manipulations, lies, and deceptions that are used today. And a lot of it was done with religion. And Cicero was notable for his ability to gain power by destroying something like a federal bill, I mean a temple. He would create these terrorist acts to cow the senators and the patricians of the Roman city into thinking that they were in great danger, and they would heap tons of power upon his head. It was incredible. Read the book. And the way they kept the population amused and pacified are the same methods they use today, ladies and gentlemen. They didn't have a television set. They built a circus. No, if I thought that we could all get together and hash out some way to protect individual liberties and make sure that there could truly be liberty and justice for all, I would have no objections whatsoever to a new world order or a one world government. None whatsoever. I would help bring it about, in fact. And I believe that every sane, intelligent person in this world would do the same. What I object to, ladies and gentlemen, is the fact that since it's being brought about through lies and deception and manipulation, that it is nothing but the same old game all over again, another attempt to enslave humanity and bring about an emperor of the world. No longer the emperor of Rome or the British Empire, but the emperor of the world. And this time they're playing with big stakes and with big technology and with a lot of different contingencies running all at once to bring it about. You see, anything that's built upon a lie is nothing but a lie, will always be a lie. And when the lie is exposed, everything that's built upon top of the lie will come tumbling down when the lie crumbles beneath it. I used an example of that in a poem written by Delamar Daverius in the frontispiece of my book, Behold a Pale Horse. It's called A Mountain of Lies. So this new world order is not going to be a utopian, peaceful world. In fact, there can never be such a world as long as man has anything to do with it. Nothing is tainted, nothing is evil, nothing is ever hurt until man touches it. And no, I'm not against the human race, and I'm not one of these wackos that think the world would be better off without mankind on it. I'm just a realist. I understand that evil isn't sprinkled down upon the human race from some great devil in the sky or underground or wherever you perceive that he's at. It comes directly out of the breast of human beings who are greedy, who are covetous, who are thieves and murderers, who are wanton men and women without morals or ethics. That's where evil comes from. I've researched it, I've watched it all my life. Now, it's okay with me if you want to hold on to some devil and blame everything that you ever do bad in your life on some devil. That's okay if you want to fool yourself. But you're not fooling me, and you're not fooling anybody else that has 1 ounce of intelligence at all. It's another way for you to skirt your responsibility for your actions. I remember one famous comedian used to say, "The devil made me do it." And I used to roll with that because he understood what I understand. Devil didn't make nobody do nothing. The fight is within ourselves. People are good. People want to be good, but people are tempted. People are manipulated. They're lied to. They're hurt. And you take these things and arrange them in different combinations, and you get evil from the hearts and minds of people. And every time I look at these benevolent people who are trying to bring about this new world order that's going to be a great utopia and end wars forever, and finally bring the kingdom of heaven to this earth. And they're doing the same thing everybody else is doing. They're stealing and robbing and lying and manipulating and gathering power. I think the only thing that can ever end all this, ladies and gentlemen, is if we stick to what my original goal was, to discover the truth. Seek ye the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And I believe that's the only thing that can do it. When I agreed to the offer of the General Staff of the Second Continental Army of the Republic to build an intelligence organization, I knew that I had to do it, because these men might have to fight a great battle for liberty someday, and they need the truth to do it with. I also thought that if I could gather enough information and make it available to enough people, that none of this would ever have to come to pass or be possible. That no blood would ever have to be spilled, and I still believe that that's a possibility. Although that possibility is getting smaller as every day goes by. And we are now in the month of October, ladies and gentlemen. For the first time in over 640 years, 644 I believe to be exact, Friday the 13th in October is here. October the 13th, Friday. Ladies and gentlemen, in the year 1307, the King of France and the Pope swooped down upon the Knights Templar and destroyed that organization. They have sworn revenge. It is in their writings, it is in their oaths. And I revealed in my series on the mysteries that all of these secret societies and the hierarchy of the Illuminati sprang directly from the Templars who brought the mysteries from the Middle East during the Crusades. So if I were you, I would be very careful during the month of October. I have no idea what's going to happen, or even if anything will. Maybe because I've broadcast it so widely on this broadcast, maybe nothing will happen. But I doubt it. You know, I don't think they're going to wait around another 600 and some odd years, do you? I really believe something will happen this month. Something significant, major, world-shaking. I hope that it doesn't. I have no idea what it could be. There is a possibility that there could be an assassination attempt upon the life of the Pope, you see. He was one of the major players that brought down the Templars. They already brought down France in the French Revolution, and they chopped off heads and the blood ran in the streets. They got their vengeance on the country of France. What do you think that was all about? That was pure and simply the vengeance of the Templars against the nobility of France. They destroyed them for all time. They destroyed God in France, too. France is a secular nation from which socialism and communism sprang. The Templars are very much alive and well in this country, ladies and gentlemen. They built it, and they control it. So I think what we had better concentrate upon is the truth. And I think we should continue to build our militias with the goal in mind of preserving the social and legal structure of our communities when everything begins to fall apart. Don't delude yourself. You're not going to go marching off to conquer Washington, D.C. But you can protect your communities and your states from any incursion by those who would enslave us. And yes, folks, when everything starts to break down, from your neighbors, who will do all kinds of crazy things when they discover that the law no longer exists. And all of these people who have been railing against the militia will discover what the militia is really for when that happens. And for a lot of other reasons. So be prepared. Those of you who are awake and who have a basic knowledge to be able to understand what I'm talking about, we're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to talk about a lot of things, and we're going to really, really look for the truth. We're going to search it out, and we're going to bear it before the world. No matter who it hurts or helps, even if it hurts me. And if it does, I won't cry, and I hope you don't either. It's unbecoming, amongst other things. Truth, liberty, and responsibility are the watchwords and the keys to the future. And if we cannot discover the truth and live by it in liberty, responsible for our own actions, there will be no liberty. Of that much I can assure you. Good night, folks. Thank you for your kind attention, and God bless you all.